Yeah, listen carefully, Genesis 1:26 to 31. Listen carefully to the scripture. Listen to what it says.
Then God said, "Let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said to them, "I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seeds. To you it shall be for food."
Were you listening to that? Were you watching, listening to the flow of that? And you know that the Bible originally didn't have these verses. Here's God saying, "Let us make man in our image and let him have dominion." And he starts to outline what your dominion potential is. Over all the cattle, over everything on the earth. And his flow right next to that was, "Behold, feed your body this way." As though this is your potential, but your body has to be kept in a particular way for you to walk in this dominion potential. Feed your God designed a way for this body to be kept. Now, isn't it interesting that the most alkalizing food, or the only alkalizing foods on the planet, are plants, fruits and vegetables, in their raw state? The more food is cooked, the more acid it becomes. The more we cook vegetables, the more acid they get. When they're raw, they're alkaline. We don't usually cook fruit much. So the most we should do with vegetables is just maybe steam them lightly, but don't ever boil them in water unless you're going to drink the water too, because you lose all your minerals that way. Now, this is how we're supposed to eat. Does that apply? We can ask some questions now. Ask me about this, because a lot of questions will come to mind whether this is necessary today or not. Do we have any variables? Yes, we do. There is options. There is some flexibility in here, but this must be the base of our diet, because man is designed to eat this way. It is our design to walk in dominion potential, which is why we call it our dominion eating plan. This is what it could look like today. Fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, grains. This is an idea of what it could look like in its living state. It's called biogenic foods, which is raw sprouted grains, and that regenerates cells in your body. Bioactive fruits energizes your cells. Most people eat 3 and 4, biostatic and bioacidic foods. Anything that's processed, refined, packaged, bottled, those are 3 and 4. But most of us eat cooked and processed foods. Isn't that true? We need to flip it around. Now, what we're only 20 to 25% of our diet should be down here, 75 to 80% at the top, and we'll be okay. The point is not to focus on this, the point is to focus on our spiritual well-being. When that becomes more aligned, as we discipline ourselves to this, a day will come in the journey of the alignment when 75-25 will not be good enough for you anymore. You'll want to give it more. But we journey into it. It's all a journey. Have you ever heard of these people? These are people that was interviewed on a lot of the TV stations here in America. A number interviewed him. Do you know this guy? Anybody ever saw him? You don't know this guy? They were being interviewed all over the U.S. because of this guy, Mr. Amos Larkin. He's 24. He eats regular meals. This is his wife, Annette Larkin. She's 70. And she's been a raw vegan for 27 years. And when they got married, which was about 40 years ago, they looked alike. Today, she has not aged much, and he has aged a lot. Now, why he would see that happen to his wife and continue to eat regular food, I don't know. But he ate normal food, and this is the people today want to know if that is his daughter. But that is the power of raw foods. It is more nutritionally dense. It is more protective, more alkalizing, more energizing. It's more cleansing to your body. It just works better for the human system. Why? God designed it so. But we are so locked into the appetites and the lust and the pleasures of the flesh, which our Lord said it needs to go down, so the spirit, which is why fasting does what it does. But imagine fasting for a week and seeing your spiritual enlivenment. What if that was just your lifestyle? Not fasting and not eating, but just eating what is right. Your fast is, I don't eat the world's food. Now, if I do enough of the right, I have a, like a 20-25% leeway where I can indulge a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Not a problem, as long as I am doing the right thing, the other things physically. But more so, my life is committed into growing spiritually, being renewed inwardly day by day. Why? Because the more my spirit is enlivened and aligned with the will of God, the greater my biomagnetic field is, the more attuned everything is going to work for me. Now, this, I'll just share these couple of things with you, and then you can get into the questions. I have found, and this is something that's being done, I mean, I'm sure all of you are familiar with this, but I found this is the easiest way to get raw foods in. Don't watch the blender. The blender has a lot of fruit, and people are into a lot of fruit smoothies. That's okay, but you need vegetable smoothies more than fruit. Just so you know the ratio for balance in the human body, 3 vegetables to 1 fruit. We should always have a lot more vegetables. Now, it's easier to drink a smoothie that's vegetables and maybe fruit than to sit down to eat a plate of raw vegetables. People will hardly do that. And if you ever try eating raw vegetables, it takes a long time because you have to chew so much more. But it's also interesting that, do you know, listen to this, do you know what's the number one selling, the number one prescribed pharmaceutical drug on the planet? Antibiotics are the most prescribed drug by doctors. Do you know what's the second most prescribed and selling drug on the planet? Digestive aids. People get older, they end up with digestive issues. Here's what some tests done at Harvard show, that if people will sit down, they did a test with people over the ages of 50 that had different digestive issues, and they make them chew each mouthful of food 50 to 100 times, which nobody will actually do that. But for the purpose of the test, they chewed their food 50 to 100 times, and that went on for 6 months. At the end of the 6 months, all the enzyme levels, which medicine says does not come back up when it goes down, all came back up, and the digestive system improved. And here's what they found out, that the action of chewing food repeatedly for a long time, the bones in your skull, you know, your skull is not just one solid bone. As you chew, they are actually flexing and moving, and they're causing an electrochemical impulse from your brain that goes right to your digestive system and strengthens the function of them. And so chewing raw food that makes you chew long is actually a good thing. Besides which, you eat less food, so you don't ever get overweight. But an easy way to get in raw is just to put them in a high power, a regular kitchen blender don't work. They don't make them smooth. You have to get a high-powered smoothie blender. You put, let me tell you, it is so good. It is really energizing to your body. It keeps your system clean. It keeps your system functioning well. And I think that every day you want to drink one of these. Make a blender full and consume it during the day, between you and your family. This is a good way to get raw stuff in. There's another good way to do it. Get into the habit of juicing vegetables. People don't take time to sit down and eat it raw, so you know what? Just make a drink and drink it. You'll get concentrated amongst like this. Highly alkalizing, very energizing, highly nutritious. It's easier to drink than it is to eat. This you want to avoid. Yeah, weapons of mass destruction. If you think the terrorists are bad, you'll probably want to ask about some of those things. But these really are destroying the the temple. Highly acidic, highly toxic foods. Does it mean I don't ever have I can't enjoy a slice of cheesecake? No, it doesn't mean you can't enjoy a slice of cheesecake, but are you doing enough right things in your life? You see how easy it is our minds to go, health is my body. Health is not your body. Health is your life. Are we doing enough with our life that a piece of cheesecake can't harm me? Because we can do that. We could still enjoy and we could still indulge a little bit, but we just have to do enough right. So that's it for this session. I probably could leave you with this. And let God's truth govern your whole life. That's the sanctifying power of your life. Live a lifestyle of service to others. Let your life be driven by purpose. Recognize the good in all things. Eat 80% of a raw plant-based diet. Drink plenty of pure alkaline water or other fluids. Use whole nutritional supplements. Why? Because the quality of food today just is nutritionally deficient. You need to help to make up for that. Exercise your body regularly and consistently. Maintain periodic cleansing of your body. Give your body sufficient rest. Kind of brings the three of them together like that. Main point, if we do not discipline what we feed, if feeding our body is a control we cannot get a handle on, then this journey of aligning body and spirit doesn't happen. Our spiritual well-being is the most, that's where the power is. But we broke this thing by going against God in the beginning. Man broke it. Man gave it to self over what he put into his mouth. We first, here's the principle. We've been given dominion on this earth. We must first bind. We must first govern on earth before it could be done in heaven. We must govern physically before we can gain access spiritually. First bind on earth, then it's bound in heaven. First loose it on earth, then it's loosed in heaven. First gain control over your physical well-being, which is where you drop the ball. Hence Paul's principle, I discipline my body and bring it under subjection, lest when I preach to others, I would be disqualified. My spiritual potency depends on my governance over my physical well-being. We have to live like that. We take this journey, if you get all the details and we unfold it as a lifestyle in the church, it will transform your church and transform our lives. And the journey is not about sickness and disease or eating right. It's not about those things. It's about coming into oneness in Christ so that we can become a body, one body. The process and the dynamics of the journey requires discipline and sacrifice. So discipline, we understand on the physical side. Sacrifice for your spiritual well-being means that you get up early and you spend an hour in prayer with God and a half hour reading the Word. Oh, but I don't have the time for that. Then explain to me, seek first the kingdom of God and everything else in your life will fall in line. If you tell me you're struggling for everything to fall in line, but yet you cannot, because to grow spiritually, it takes sacrifice. Oh, I couldn't come to Bible study, I couldn't come to men's meeting because something else that you had that was more interesting to do. Look at Jesus' life. He sacrificed. So a little 5-minute prayer here and a 20-minute prayer here and a quick and only way and get caught up into the world and the busyness of life, that didn't work. That's not the people of God. That's the people of God today. That's the traditional church. The traditional church does not see the power of God moving in it. This is a high calling in God. It's a high calling in God. And it releases the power that God has given to us. Not to walk high, but to save this world. And people will know and people will believe when we start to live like this. Questions? If there's no questions, either you're very confused or you're very smart, and we could go home. Yes, ma'am, there.
Reading the ingredients on this pure bottle of water. It says it has in it potassium, magnesium, sulfate, something, chloride, salt, a few other words I can't even see what they are. That's not pure. That's not pure water.
Why would it not be pure? You mean it should not have anything in it? Does water originally come out of the ground without minerals in it? No, it comes out of the ground with minerals in it. And although, I mean, bottled water, there's so many bottled waters on the market, and people do different things with bottled waters that some are questionable. But seeing minerals in water doesn't mean it's not pure. The minerals... The question would be, for me, is what kind of minerals are these? Are they ionic minerals? In other words, are they in a form that my body uses? Because if they're not in a form that my body can use, it now becomes an element my body has to find a way to get out. It's now toxic to my body. And if it gets stored up inside my body, then it just contributes to problems. It may take 10 years, but eventually it'll create a problem. So my only question would be what form the mineral is in? And if it was something that's naturally in the water, or what, did they add it to the water to make it, did they remineralize the water, as some people do? Because bottled waters that remineralize, they don't put ionic minerals, which is the way your body uses them. They just take minerals from a rock sometimes and just throw them in there, which is not necessarily a good thing to do. But just seeing minerals don't mean it's not pure. But you have to be careful. Bottled water... Unless you have a big budget, I would suggest if you really want to drink good water, it's better to invest in a good water filtration system. Because the money you're paying for bottled water in a month, you could have bought a good system and pay less. Right here in the United States, you could go online. There's a water system called a Zen, Z-E-N, alkaline water system. It costs about $90 or $100 for it. That's a one-time investment. And... there's no hookups to your pipe. There's no hookups. It just sits on your counter. It holds as much as 8 gallons of water. And you fill up a 4-gallon chamber. It filters down through a couple of different filters into a 4-gallon chamber at the bottom. And you could fill up the top again and have 8 gallons going at a time. That's $90 for that. And to change the filter, which you have to replace on occasion, it costs $20 to replace a filter that gives you 500 gallons of alkaline water, purified water, remineralized water, magnetized water, and ionized water. That's what that does for you. That is excellent hydrating water for your body. For just one unit costs $100, but to get 500 gallons for a $20 filter, that's really economical. It's better to do that than to just keep buying bottled water and you know what you're getting. So it's clean, alkaline water. But we should be drinking alkaline fluids all the time. Remember the 1-to-20 ratio. You go and drink a cup of coffee, you need to drink 20 times that volume in something alkaline to fix it. On top of that, think about the negative emotions, the negative thoughts that we have. That's 5 times more acid than diet. Now you understand, my whole point is this. Don't look at the disease. The world is looking at the disease. They can't even solve the disease, but the problem is not the disease. Disease is just the fruit. It's just the outcome. It's the way we live, the way we think, the move away from God. The church is the only institution on planet Earth that can solve the world's pandemic of disease. But we are suffering in pretty much the same proportion to the world. But we are the ones that actually possess the answer. And again, the journey is not how to come out of disease. The journey is to become properly aligned in our life with God. The fruit is, my disease goes away. my relationships improve. I become more effective in the way I live. My thinking and my focus is sharper. I just become more effective in life from following the principles. But the challenge is, it requires rigid discipline and continual sacrifice. That takes me away from the world, how the world lives. But somehow, I'm so acculturated to the world that I want to kind of hang out here. I want that, but I kind of want to hang out here still. And we just have to choose not to. But we are the people of God. We are not of this world. We're not designed to live and function like the world. We designed to function so much higher. We're the ones that walk with the world's solutions. We have a problem, the world have a problem, they come, let's go and talk to the church. These people have something, they tap into something that we can't tap. They have access to resources that come from a realm that we can't touch. We need to, the church needs to come back to this. It should be that when the government has a problem, we need to speak to the church leaders. But the voice of the church today doesn't have much influence anymore. Pastor Eugene, I'll tell you, is a grind for me now. It's a sore spot for me. But I know, and my encouragement and my hope is that in the era we're in, God is bringing, is going to start, the church is going to start to rise. And sooner or later, a group of people all over this earth, a group is going to emerge that is walking in holiness and righteousness, that are doing the exploits of God and doing the works of the Lord. And signs and wonders will follow what they do because they're walking in truth. And there'll be those who will still want to walk on both sides of the fence. Because the wheat and the tares have to grow together. So they'll always have that. That's not a problem. I certainly don't want to be one of the tares. And I know that I've been called by God to help to influence more wheat coming out of this. But God's will be done. And even though we are a small group, Pastor Eugene, I am honored to do this. Yeah, I can share. There's information you can get. You go on the internet, you'll get. Yes. Well, I could share that. I could probably share that with Pastor Eugene, and you can make it available to the people. Okay, let me say this though, as it comes to mind, do not get caught up on what is right to eat? Am I eating this thing right? Should I, don't get caught up on that. Should it be sprouted green? Don't get caught up on it. Healthier choices, absolutely. But our caught up is not the item itself. Our focus has to be internal because we are shifting from living externally to living internally. We are reordering the flow of life. If we focus on that, the rest will fall in line. But it's a simultaneous thing. As we refocus and as we emphasize our internal life, we still at the same time must apply physical. That improves more and more and more as we engage the discipline. Because what happens is you start to see the change. You start to experience the difference. And your desire is to just keep going deeper and deeper in the things of God. The more the Spirit of God becomes alive in us, the more we want to come away from it. That's going to happen. But we have to break free and start the journey. Did you finish?
Well, no, I mean, that's true. Because
Your spine is what? Is it something degenerative?
Well,
you've never had it checked to see what it is? Well, it's difficult for me to, and if you want, I could answer to specific things if you want. I can't, because you don't know if it is a degenerative problem, a misalignment problem. We don't know if it's an abnormal growth problem. I don't know. But to solve it, you need to, you see, medicine can save our life. Medicine does not keep us healthy, but it can save us. Medicine also has excellent diagnostic capabilities. They can tell you what's wrong. How they fix it might be questionable. Now, if you find out what's wrong, now you know what to do. So you really should get an idea, probably get an MRI and see what's going on with your spine. Degenerative things, people often have, when bones start to degenerate, which is common to just about every one of us to different degrees, the spine, the hips, the knees, the places that carry a lot of weight and a lot of movement, often will feel it and almost often will get the degeneration a lot. Bones degenerate pretty much with everybody because you run acid and your body uses calcium to keep regulating that, so you lose calcium along the line, which medicine calls normal, but it's not normal, it's just very common. In medicine, anything becomes common enough, it gets labeled as normal. The other thing we have to think of spiritually or emotionally is that, for example, when the Word of God says a broken spirit dries up the bones, people who have gone through trauma and hurt and who carry sadness and sorrow that they've never let go of, you will cause your bones to degenerate faster. Now, that's literal. So, and there are lots of people that walk around with things that happened 25 years ago that they've been through that was very hurtful, and they moved on, but they never really let go of it. They never really released it. And today, they're not even conscious of it. It was so long ago, but it's affecting their bones today, and they don't even know that. People with, like this morning, the pastor that was here, speaking to him, he was asking me, we were talking about the emotion and how the emotions affect our health. And I said to him, if a person has rejection, who doesn't deal with rejection well, have had issues with rejection, they will always have respiratory problems and weaknesses. And he said, could you repeat that? And he said, his son, he has an adopted son, I think, who has asthma, who was, the mother tried to abort them, and he was dealing with rejection issues even from birth. And by the way, things are passed on to us that can contribute to disease in the womb. Like his son, for example, the mother, she wants to abort the child. It doesn't work. The child lives. But that rejection, that's not going to be passed to the child. The child grows up, has respiratory problems, have bronchial problems, have asthma problems. From birth, from a child, they're suffering, and they can't understand why. And they grow up and they have issues with relationships, especially with the opposite sex, because they just have this issue with rejection. I used to have that problem. I used to suffer with asthma from a child. They told me you have to live with that for the rest of your life. And growing up, you know, the regular teenage guys, you go to a party or not, all the guys are on the prowl, they're looking for the girls and who to go and dance. I'm standing in a corner and I'm not moving. Afraid. Once or twice, I worked up every ounce of strength to go and ask a girl to dance. She said, no, that's it for the night. I'm not saying that again. I could not handle rejection. Devastating to me. All that time I had no idea that my issues of rejection was contributing to my respiratory problems. Almost died from asthma twice. I had inhalers all over. I was so paranoid. I used to have an inhaler in my pocket, one in my briefcase, one in my car, one by my mom, they were all over. I make sure they'll never be caught without an inhaler because I almost died twice. Today I don't have that problem. But I've had to work through a lot of things. Let me share this with us. A lot of us are dealing with that and we don't know. Because we cannot sit here and say, boy, I wonder, what could that be? People come to our center, we do an assessment, and part of our assessment exposes some of these emotional things that people have buried. And oftentimes people can identify, and sometimes they say, that makes no sense to me. Yeah, I don't have any issues with that. But they don't know, it's just buried so deep. And it takes introspection, dedicated time of prayer and meditation and asking God to reveal, and you would be surprised what will come up. And you'd be saying things like, oh my God, that was 30 years ago. I didn't even know that was there. But they are contributing to changes in our bodies today. And we have no idea. But who the Son sets free is free of all this. But you see, if we don't make this change that we're talking about today, we are not going to be set free, because He must reside in our hearts for real, not for just thought. It has to be an experience. It has to go from philosophy in a book to reality of living. It takes two things: discipline and sacrifice for your physical and your spiritual well-being. And the dynamics of that process renews your mind, your thinking. Dismantle mindsets. Start to rebuild kingdom structures in your thinking. But you start to become very different. All of a sudden, you just don't fit in to the places you fit in. You don't enter conversations you used to have. And there, people start saying things about you that might be uncomfortable. And if you're not strong in your stand for God, you'll compromise. But one day we're going to stand before God. You'll stand before the King of all kings. And when we look back on life, it would have seemed so short a time had passed. Why didn't I just do it right? The world. You see, we don't understand the paradigm that we live in of this world. We've been acculturated by this thing. We have been conditioned into this thing. This thing don't go away like that. You have to, and the church, we have to do it together. We support each other through this journey out of this world. And so you form groups in your church. You partner with people in this church. And when you get together, you're not always talking about the football game or the deal you had at the mall. You're talking about, you know, that principle that Pastor talked about Sunday. How is that working out for you? How are you integrating that into your life? What's your chance? You discuss the things of God. God becomes the center of your life. Why? Because you're on a journey of becoming like Christ. So that's all part of self-denial. I'm not into that talk anymore. I'm not into that kind of... So the guys I used to love cricket. The guys get together, they're talking about the cricket match. I don't want to talk about that no more. It's a waste of time. I mean, I have other things that just take over my mind. You have a question.
It really hit a chord with me when you were talking about how we're all interconnected. And then when we all thought spiritual was the most important, you said social. And I notice how the Holy Spirit has just dealt with me about, you know, interacting in the body of Christ. And the one scripture that came to my mind was about when we take communion. And I wondered if you could address that, where it says, why are there many sick among you? And it's talking about judging yourself. And then it says, let a man examine himself. And if he eats unworthily or drinks, he drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. I wonder if you have anything to say about that.
What do you think that means, many sick and many sleep?
That's what I'm asking you.
No, I'm asking all of us. This is, we're all, you'll come here, we're working. We're... The way we don't discern. What do you think that scripture of examining yourself and not discerning the Lord's body, what's that talking about? Right. It stems from that. It's in the context of that. What does that mean? Not discerning the Lord's body. Does that have anything to do with our relationship with God? Does that have anything to do with our perspective of our God, our Lord, who He is? Does that have anything to do with our oneness with Him? Does it speak about examining ourselves because we need to see who we are? And if we don't respect and honor and glorify God in our bodies, I promise you, we will not honor and glorify God. We will get in service and we can raise our hands and say, Lord, I glorify you. It's just words. If I did, I would do it in my life. I cannot say, Lord, I honor and I glorify you. And then when I come out of church, my life is not glorifying to you. How could it be? How could it not be glorifying to you when I'm out, and when I'm alone, and when I'm behind closed doors? But it is when I stand in the congregation. It's called being a Pharisee. Have the law, know the word, but it's not lived. It's not part of our life. Our relationship with God, Jesus, sacrificed his life that we could be identified with him in oneness. Abide in me and I in you, like a branch in a vine. Because if you don't, without me, you cannot do anything spiritually potent. Do it, and whatever you ask will be done. Because you'll only be doing what comes out of that abiding relationship. How do I get to abide in him and he in me? How do I become one with him? I cannot do it following this world in any way. Not even 10%. But that's the journey. If you can you imagine what people would look, what a group of people that lives like this look like to the world? They are so unusual. They say they're very peculiar people. That should make us feel proud. I'm glad to know that. Because let me tell you, when the children get sick and the life is falling apart, guess who they'll go down? They say, let me need to go down the street and speak to that Christian down there. Because they always seem to have the answers. And they seem to know how to make life work. They seem to handle problems like there is no problem at all. We need to go and talk to those people. I long for the day where people, the church will start to gain back some ground like that. Yeah. I quit my job for this. And what we shared here today, This is just the surface. Really, it's just the surface. This thing goes deep. This thing is continually expanding. I'm on my second book. When I told my wife, Michelle, a couple months ago, when I quit the job, and she said, well, you know, what are you going to do with your time? I said, one of the things that God impressed on my heart is that between now and the end of 2017, I have 7 books to write. I can't tell you what all 7 books are, but I know I have 7 books to write. I'm on my second book now. And I'll tell you, in December, when I said to Michelle, and she'll tell you, this book, before it went to publish, around October, the last quarter of last year, before it went off, I said to Michelle, this book has to find its way into the body of Christ. And God has to open up some kind of platform that it finds its way into the body of Christ. And then I end up being introduced to this man who has a global network of churches of over 4,000 churches. And we started talking about some of these principles. And he was saying, the church needs to hear some of what you have to say. I said, I have a book that could tell it. He said, when the book is finished, bring it to me. Can I get a copy? Now, here's what I want to believe. When he reads that, he's going to say, every church should have this and start to teach this to the people. I hope the same even for GCMF. Because we need something to move us out of where we are. God cannot come back and find the church like this. He cannot. Otherwise, 10 people going. I mean, an exaggeration, but you know what I mean. We're not ready. We are not ready. So when I go back, Michelle's gonna, she said, did you slap them? Did you beat up on them? I said, no, baby, I didn't. I said, them Dutch people, they're strong, boy. They can take it. But I'll tell you honestly, I enjoy myself. I enjoy doing this. I was standing the whole day and just share all kind of things. I don't get tired. Michelle often tells me, I don't know how you do it. Why? I just enjoy it. I live for it. And I have no concerns. When I quit my job, my wife said, how are we going to make it? How are we going? Do you know when I quit my thing, we were 5 months behind in our house rent. And the landlord was saying, if I don't get the rent by the end of the next month, you and your family have to move. Michelle, I'm not saying because she's a woman, but she just don't handle stress the same way. And when it comes to money, Michelle couldn't sleep. And she said, I trust you if you say God say it, but then she still had to come and say, was it really God that said Because it's just, and my accountant says, a very irresponsible move. How could you do that at such a time? But God did say. In fact, God said a whole year before and I disobeyed him and he had to bring my business down to nothing. God said to me since October 2014 to move. And I shared it with the staff and I shared it with my wife. And come 2015, he made it loud and clear, your season has changed, dedicate your life to my work. But I had lawsuit here and I had bills, and I was just saying, my own reasoning was, how could I? I just have too much financial responsibility. Couldn't trust God. Lean into my own understanding. And in 2015, my business did like this. It started and no dive. We had radio programs where I go in the air and read just educational stuff. And it always keeps the business busy. All of a sudden, the radio programs, no calls. It wasn't yielding anything. Everything started to go down. The seminars we do, We have educational seminars. People always come and make appointments or we want to come and have our assessments done. Seminars, people give a whole list and nobody comes. I mean, everything stopped yielding fruit and just went down, down, down. Appointments. I used to have appointments that would be booked 3 months ahead. My appointments started to be booked 3 days ahead. Everything just started. And all the time I'm hearing God and Michelle is saying, what is happening? I'm saying, honey, I'll be honest with you. I think it's because of my disobedience to God. And one morning, God knows this is true. One morning after my devotions, I'm just sitting down quiet. And I'm hearing the Lord say, is it that I have to strip it all from you for you to get up? And that morning when I went to work, I'm sitting in my office with a client. I heard this big crash. Pow! I flew my office and said, what was that? This sign, we have a big road sign, but then there's a sign that hangs. I'm on a second floor of a building. And there was this sign that hangs over the door, a 6-foot sign. The bolts just all let loose, and that's the sign that has my name on it. The sign just dropped off the building. It hit the banister and fallen on the landing. If it had fell over, it would have fell on cars in the car park. Thank God it didn't fall over. And as I came back in the office saying, God, thank you, it didn't fall over in the car park, it came back to me what he said in the morning. Is it that I got to strip it from you? And at that point, I know God was talking, but I could not find a place of peace to come away from it with all that was around me. And it's only coming down into the latter part of the year October, November, they're around, that I started to become a piece of, okay, I can move now. I can move now. And it's around that time that you called me to say, would you speak at the GCMF conference? And when I came out, I didn't know how everything was going to work. I didn't know where the money was going to pay to cover the rent that we were owing on for a few months. And the money came. And you see, those were all learning experiences for me to trust God now. And so the money just came. I mean, 20-something thousand dollars showed up. You know how it came? Could I tell you? I took out a life insurance policy probably 25 years ago, which I since, years ago, I closed that policy. Took out the cash to buy a car, and that was years ago. Over 10 years ago, I closed that policy. But when I took it out, they had some special deal going on that who took out policies that month got some shares to do with the insurance company, which I really paid no mind to. It was just some kind of offer that they had going on. I closed off this policy so long. I went to Barbados to deal with to see about a business deal, and I ran into the insurance agent that took out that policy for me years ago. I hadn't seen him in years. And we started chatting. He said, you know what? Something came across my desk with your name on it. I need it. And so he went and he got it. Those little shares that they were giving out back then added up to 20-something thousand dollars today. But that's how I managed to pay my rent. The other thing that was going on is this thing going on in court. One of the suppliers, I owe $75,000 to, and this thing is now going to court. And in my prayer, putting this before the Lord, I have a major competitor who's also, he does the same work as I, another doctor. He keeps coming up in my mind. And I'm saying, Lord, I mean, how could I go to my competitor and tell him about my debt? What's that about? I brushed it off, but throughout the day, this guy's name, so I called him and I said, you know, I need to see you and meet with you. And I told him about this debt that I have. I mean, what am I even telling you about this debt, $75,000? And I said to him, I do not know why I'm telling you this. I just believe the Lord want me to tell you this. Couldn't get it out of my mind. He said, well, I do a lot of business with that supplier. And I do a lot of, and I could use that to leverage to give you some more time because it was about to go to court. And I would not have had the money for that. And I couldn't afford to pay the lawyer at the time. So he said, I'll buy you some time with that. I could probably get you about 6 months. Would that help? I said, yes, it would help. So he talked to the lawyer and all that. And they said, well, you need to come in and we need to do some paperwork and you need to sign to this agreement. When we went in and they were doing all the paperwork, he said, you know what? I changed my mind. I'm going to pay off the entire $75,000. And he paid the $75,000 to me. I said to him, Dr. Ross, I'll tell you, I do not know how I would ever be able to, or when I could pay you this back. He said, I don't want you to pay me back. Yeah. Now he said to me, now when he was 12 years old, his family had a financial crisis, which I helped them through. He was 12. I don't even know he even remembered that. But when he said to me, I don't need you to pay me back, he said, I remember when I was 12 years old how you helped my parents. He said, I don't need you to pay me back. And he paid off, he cleared out $75,000. God just provided. And he always will. He always, sometimes he'll take you to the very edge of the cliff. And he'll say, step off. And you just have to trust that God, whatever it is, it's better. Even if it looks bad, it's better. You don't ever, ever, ever lose with God. Never. So that's the journey that we're on. I tell you, this thing is real. It is real. It is real. It is real. This thing is so real. When Michelle and I were getting married some years ago, Michelle wanted the fairy tale, all the 9 yards, all the white gong, and the long trail going down the aisle. And I wanted under a coconut tree on the beach somewhere, we can just get married. Besides which, what she want costs a lot of money. All the multi-layered cakes, and I mean, she wants the dream wedding. But I want to satisfy her. I want her to have the dream wedding. But my gosh, where am I going to get? So I started inquiring. I said, but where is this money going to come from? But no, I'm not telling her because I don't want to discourage her. I want her to have her dream. And in comes one day to the clinic, this guy from Canada, who was in, he lived in Trinidad, he now resides in Canada, and he came down once and he had this problem. And I helped him through it. And because of that, he sent his daughter, who had a problem from Canada, down to see me, and I helped her through that problem. And they both got good results. He visited Trinidad now, and he came by to say, you know, it's been a long time, and by then we had expanded our business. He said, oh, it's good to see you're expanding. I'm glad to see that. He's also a minister of the gospel, by the way. He said, I'm glad to see things are going well with you. So we sat down and we chatted. And he said, I'm going back on such a time. When he was leaving, he came and dropped a card for me. He said, I just wanted to say thank you for what you did for me and my daughter. And he gave me a card, and I put it on my desk, and I paid no mind to it. I just thought it was a card just to say thank you. And I'm getting ready to leave at the end of the day, and notice the card on my desk. I put it up and opened it. It had a check in it for $250,000. Michelle's, the medicine she wanted was costing me $125,000. That's how she got her dream medicine. God always provides. He always, always provides. I mean, I would expect a little $5,000, but not $250,000. Yeah. That's who we are and who we serve. Any more questions? So I've come to this place where my wife says to me, if any problem going on, don't even bother to tell David. If the house is burning down, don't worry to call him. He'll say, don't worry about it. And that's where I've come, really. There's no issue in life that is a problem anymore for me. I don't care what it is. They crash the car, they steal the car. It is not a problem. I am so confident in God today. If it happened, it's because something better is coming. Absolutely. No more questions? Do you have a question, sir? That's true, and one of the things that's going to share at one of the messages, I'll probably say it now, is that, you know, the Word of God said that the knowledge of the truth makes us free? Do we know the truth? If we do, then why are we not walking in that freedom? The question is, do we really know that truth? And so I pondered that with God, and I've been pondering that with God some time back, and it's very simple that what he laid on my heart is that you don't know it until you've experienced it. You need to experience. So if he says, if you take a truth, walk by faith, not by sight. And so here one morning I'm getting up, I'm about to go out the door, and I'm hearing the weatherman on the radio say, today's going to be a scorcher all day. It's hot, bright blue sunny sky. It sure looks that way. And as I'm going through the door, this still split-second voice says, take your umbrella, it's going to rain. Now I just take it as a passing thought, and I'm on my way. I've gone out. In the middle of the afternoon, the rain starts to fall. Do I know that principle? I don't. I would probably say, I kind of had a thought this morning, I should have brought my umbrella. But the scenario changes now. Same thing, I'm about to go through the door. This split-second voice says, grab your umbrella. I grab it because I choose to listen to that. I grab my umbrella. I step outside. The neighbor says, where are you going with your umbrella? It's going to rain this afternoon. Did you hear? It's going to be a scorcher today. It's going to rain. In the afternoon, the rain starts to fall. I have my umbrella. I go to church on Sunday, and the minister says, walk by faith, not by sight. Do you know what that is? You know what that is. You experienced that. It's like the guy saying, I've never had any pain before. What is pain? And I show you a guy on the television. He's all whining and he's all crunched over and he's bawling. And See that guy? He's in pain. That's what pain does to you. And so you come and you ask the guy, do you know what pain is? He says, yes, I know. You see, that's what pain is. You don't know it. He steps outside and somebody gives him a lash with a bat. And he starts to, now you know what pain is. You didn't know it till you experience it. So we may read a principle, but until that becomes, now I am free in that. I don't stumble over that anymore. That now changes my life in that area because I have experienced it. Again, what does that say? Discipline, sacrifice. You have to engage it for it to work. Well, thank you all very much for your attention and for your questions. And I really do hope that you're getting something that could help to move you forward, upward, whatever.
Thank you very much. Okay, this evening we will be starting at 7 o'clock. We will be having some time of worship before we get into the Word and for the teaching for tonight. So tonight at 7, invite others to come. Even if they weren't here this morning, I'm sure they're going to get plenty, every one of our services. So please invite them to come to be here tonight and at 7 o'clock, and then a